Great is our God, and he's greatly to be praised, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Certainly we thank God and we celebrate his goodness and grace and mercy toward us. And certainly it's good to be alive. It's good to be alert. It's good to be active. For it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. What joy I have to be back at New Bethlehem last week this time. Amen. Amen. Last week this time we were at the National Baptist Convention in Kansas City, Missouri, and had a wonderful time. Wonderful time. I want to express thanks and gratitude to Reverend Shepherd for filling in for us. I know he done a great job, and you enjoyed and you were edified. Amen. 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 Chapter 6, I'm a church member. I ask that we would stand for the reading of Scripture, Psalm 25. Psalm 25. I hope you have enjoyed a series of teachings from Tom Rainer's book, I'm a Church Member, as much as I've enjoyed and much as I am enjoying. I think it is very enriching and edifying for us as church members to know our approach and perspective to church membership, and certainly in knowing our approach and perspective to church membership, we can do it right. Amen. Because it can be done wrongly, that we can do it right. We can be what God would have us to be and desire us to be as church members. But it's all about perspective. Amen. Our perspective. Making sure we have the right perspective. All right, Psalms 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Amen. The word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy and divine word. I'm a church member. Chapter 6, I will treasure church membership as a gift. I will treasure church membership as a gift. Just recapping, a tale of two church members, that two people don't necessarily have to see it the same. That one can see it in a negative light or a negative way, and the other can see it in a positive. One can see it as something bad, the other can see it as something good. The tale of two church members. Often when service is happening, there are two responses to preaching. There are two responses to singing. There are two responses to all that is going on and happening within a worship service, a worship setting. What makes some happy makes others angry. So you can have two responses. You can have a good and a bad response in the same sanctuary. Everyone in church, everyone who attends the service, don't leave the same way. Amen. So a tale of two church members. You determine which of the two you are. Your perception of church determines how you respond to what happens at church.
Yes, sir.
What happens after church?
Yes.
What happens in your life during the week as a result of you attending church?
Yes.
Your perception. How you perceive God, number one.
Yes.
And then how you perceive what God has set up in the earth. So a tale of two church members. Through perception of God, there shall be or should be functionality.
Amen.
That you understand that God has not called you to just merely exist.
Amen.
Show up and be uninvolved.
Yeah.
No, God has given you a gift, at least one gift.
Yes, sir.
For the functionality, the functioning of the body of Christ. So you have a role to play. You have, you know, you have a responsibility of contributing to the worship experience, the work of the church. That is not all pastor's responsibility. It's not all the person beside you, the person beside you's responsibility. You have a responsibility. As a blood-bought child of God.
That's right.
That now that you're saved, God has equipped you for the work of ministry.
Amen.
That's what Paul said in Ephesians. It's your work. It's your work. It's your work. That he gives gifts to the church in terms of leadership to the church for the edifying of the body.
Yeah.
For the work of ministry.
Yes.
That you have a ministry. You have an assignment. Therefore, you are to be functional. Functional. To fulfill your assignment. I am a functioning church member. But not only that, I'm a unifying church member. I'm not going to make the church about what I desire. About my pleasure. It's not going to be about my will. My will, my pleasure, is too small.
Amen.
It's too small to be the church's will.
Yes.
And the church's perspective.
Amen.
The church must be operative.
Yes, sir.
The church must be ordered by God's will. Even pastor's will, pastor's desire is too small.
Amen.
God did not call me for my own desire to be fulfilled.
Amen.
He called me to the work of edifying so that the church would satisfy his will. That's function. So I will not make it about me. I will be a unifying church member.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tear the church up with my words.
No.
I'm not going to tear the church up with my expressions.
I know.
Because, you know, it can be written all over your face. You don't have to say a word. You know, I'm going to be careful that when I'm asked to do or when I'm told to do something, I'm not going to have all of these bad expressions on my face. You know, because people see you. What if I got up every Sunday with an angry look on my face before I preached? I say teasingly and jokingly, what if I just stared at the floor on Sunday mornings right before I got ready to preach? All I did was came out and sat in the chair and just looked down at the floor like I had lost it. Expressions have an effect on people. So I'm not going to tear the church up. I'm not going to dismember the church by expressions, if it being facial expressions or word expressions. I'm not going to tear the church up with my attitude. I'm going to be a unifying church member. I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. You know, it happens more than you know that people leave and they express, you know, what they didn't like and what they did like, as if the church is to be ran or run by their desires. You know, when certain songs are sang, sometimes I didn't like that song. If it's a song of Jesus, you should love it. You know, some people don't like songs because of who's singing them. Y'all in the house. Some people avoid certain doors because of who's ushering. Avoid certain Sundays, you know, because of who's preaching, who's singing. You know, because of preference. But notice what he says, I will not let the church be about my preferences and desires. I got to get to where I need to be. I got to push on. I will pray for church leaders. You know, it's hard. Leadership is hard. You know, it's hard. If you've never been in a position of leadership, you don't understand the rigors of leadership. It's easy to criticize something that you have never experienced. You know, quite commonly, people talk about pastoral leadership and leadership, you know, that's delegated or authorized on the pastoral leadership, because they don't understand just how hard and tedious, trying pastoral leadership is. It's hard to make a decision for a group of people.
Yes, sir.
And listen, what seems right may not be right. That this thing has to happen according to the Spirit of God, that the pastor has to have his ear to the mouth of God.
Yes, sir.
You know, we have gone through a hard season. You know, the pandemic was hard. And it left some scars on us.
Yes.
You know, I think all of us have some pandemic scars.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, we were tested to the very core of our faith. You know, we experienced something that we've never experienced before. That we had not experienced before. You know, in our lifetime. You know. A pandemic. Some of us was so unknowing of a pandemic, we had to look it up to see what it is. What is a pandemic? But we experienced it. We know now. You know, you heard me say some years ago that I didn't have pandemic faith, because I've never experienced a pandemic, you know, when I said it. Now I have pandemic faith. I know how to trust God in a pandemic. But, you know, making decisions like whether or not we would gather as a people, hard. People dying and caught up in the milieu of the day, you know. Do I hear God? What is God saying? And to be truthful, sometimes, you know, it seems silent. Tough. You know, are you endangering people's lives by challenging their faith? Tough. So, leadership needs prayer. You know, people employed by church, you know, everybody set their life and their financial you know, obligations to their pay? Do you cut their checks or you keep paying them? Leadership questions.
Yes, sir.
So leadership needs prayer.
Yes, sir.
And it can't be taken lightly. And the average member never knew those questions exist.
Amen.
Never knew those issues exist.
Amen.
Do you go to the hospital to see a member when the hospital is full of COVID cases? Do you walk the hall and fight down in there to that member with a mask on, walking from 4th Avenue all the way across UAB to crosswalks with a mask on, out of breath? To get to a member. And then having to get back to the house and leave your clothes in the garage. Wife masked up to go down to get the clothes to disinfect. Take a shower immediately before touching anybody and getting in the bed, because the mask has worn on you. Because, you know, breathing deals with physical assertion. Hard breathing tires you. Questions and things, issues that had to deal with. So I pray for my church leader. Listen to this. I will lead my family to be healthy church members. If you're a man, you are the priest of your home. If you read of Job, Job shows us what it's like to be a priest of the home, because he made sacrifices for the people in his house. And it also shows that if your family does not give themselves to faith in God,
yes, sir,
Satan can put his hands on them. I will lead my family,
yes, sir,
to be healthy church members. Now, that's parent responsibility. That don't just bring the child to church and let that child play with gadgets, with earphones and earplugs and earbuds in their ear. That's unhealthy. Don't just let that child stay at home while church is going on. You dress up, leave them at home, come to church, they eating your bread, eating your meat, drinking your Kool-Aid, Coke, and they tell you what they're not going to do. The Trinity Joy doesn't have a choice. And you can think I'm a bad parent for it. You know, that's the way the world is going. You know, that children have choices, and they're trying to, you know, get it legislated where, you know, a parent can't force a child, you know, to be a part of a certain religion. Matter of fact, they're trying to get it legislated where a parent can't even, you know, try to help their child be identified in a certain gender. That means you're stripping me of my parental rights and responsibilities. We up against something. And we need healthy families. I used to say quite often at Joseph Creek, our young people are staying young and immature too long. They're not duplicating what's happening in the, you know, what happened in their parents' life. You know, I say to Dora, wife, all the time, you know, we built the first house when we were 24. She was 23. My children don't have a house. 26, 25, and 22. And y'all know little Trinity don't have a house 3 years old. But the point is that they are staying immature too long. You know? They are not healthy. They're affected by the world around them, influenced by the world around them. They just want to merely exist. That's the average mindset of young people today. You know, 26, you know, 30 and down, really, you know. So they're not healthy. They're not healthy. Listen, let me deal with chapter 6. Go with me to chapter 6. I will treasure church membership. I will treasure church membership. Now, I want you to write something. I want you to write this. And it may catch you off guard, but I have to explain. The church on earth is not perfect. The church on earth is not perfect because the people in the church are not perfect. Can you own the fact that you are not perfect? Y'all didn't say nothing. Can you admit that? I'm not perfect. From the pulpit to the back door, we are not perfect. So the church on earth, the church on earth is not perfect. I can help you in your search for the perfect church. On earth, it doesn't exist. And if it does, the moment you join it, it's going to have some issues. Amen, lights. You know, as a member, as a member of the body, I bring imperfections. Now, he's working on me. He's working on me. But I haven't reached perfection. Matter of fact, I won't reach perfection until I'm resurrected and raised in his likeness. So the church is made up of people who are not perfect. Listen to this. Everything Jesus did and does for the church is perfect. So the imperfection is not on Jesus. Amen. It's on the people. Yes, sir. Did y'all catch it? Yes, sir. Everything Jesus did and does as he washes us with the word is perfect. But everything man does is imperfect. Saved man does not have to be perfect to receive from the Lord the perfect gift of church membership. Ooh. Let me say it again. imperfect man, saved man, does not have to be perfect to receive from the Lord the perfect gift of church membership. Now, listen, how can you call the gift perfect? Because it simply says in Philippians chapter 1, he that begun a good work in you, the work on God's end is a perfect work. But it requires a process for us to reach perfection. He knows it from the end to the beginning. He knows exactly how you're going to come out, how you're going to end up. Listen, there'll be no imperfection in heaven. No imperfection in the presence of God. Only perfection. So he knows how you're going to come out, how you're going to end up. Now, there's shall news there. As messed up as we are, he's going to straighten us out. And we are going to become perfect. But there's a process. As long as we are in the earth and on earth. Listen, salvation is the Lord rescuing us from penalty and power of sin, but a process of him delivering us from the presence. Sin is still present. So, church membership is a gift. And we should treasure the gift because he gives it to us. He gives it to us, and we don't deserve it. Now, if you sit up in here tonight and you think you deserve to be a member, you bad off. If you thinking the church is lucky to have you, you bad off. And you so, you know, into yourself where you think if you stop coming, it's going to shut down and cease to exist. Because, you know, you think you're the core. And listen, if you think the church hadn't started doing anything until you became a member, y'all gonna come in and get with me in a minute. You bad off. Because you have to see it as a gift. And a gift is something you don't work for. It's given by a giver without cost to the recipient. Because if it involves cost, it ceased to be a gift. Let me give you an example. You've been drooling over that ring for about 6 months. Every time you go out to the jewelry store, out to a place that has a jewelry store, you know, you want to take your boo-bay into that store and you want to show them that same ring. You talk about how you would love it. As a matter of fact, you try it on every time you go, and then when you try it on, you just kind of, you separate your own fingers looking at that big old ring. And then when you want to show it to him, you kind of. If he say to you, I'm going to get you this ring as a gift. And he goes in and purchase the ring and bring the ring home and slide it on your finger and give you the receipt saying you owe him that amount. It's not a gift. See, and listen, if you're slow to pay for what's supposed to be a gift, every time there's an argument, he reminds you or she reminds you of the cost and how much you owe. It's not a gift. Now let me see, can I flip it? If a gift is given freely by a giver to a recipient, if church membership is a gift, if every time you turn around, God reminded you of the cost and demanded pay, wouldn't be a gift. But he paid, and he freely gives. And all we have to do is receive the gift giver to receive the gift. So, what should be the response? If my church membership is a gift, what should be my response as being a member of New Bethlehem? Matter of fact, the body of Christ. Let me just say the body of Christ. Number one, I should care for it. I should care to be the best member I can be. That the gift of membership is not just an average gift. It's an exceptional, extraordinary gift. So I'm going to care to maintain my membership on the local level. He gave it to me. Now, I believe church membership, local level, universally, is spiritual. How can you say that? Because when you read the letters to the churches, you would understand that churches have personalities. They were not the same. And when he would have penmen to pen what he said or what he had to say to address the church, to straighten out the issues of the church, if you were in the wrong place and if you had the wrong membership, you took the wrong medicine. Now, let me see, can I help you? New Bethlehem membership is different from Shady Grove membership. Now, if you're a member of New Bethlehem and you over there and he preaching over there trying to straighten out some stuff, and you over there just eating, and that's not your issue, because what he's going to do is lay it on the pastor's heart what to preach. That's why y'all think we melon. But what he's trying to do is string you out. So we got to be stepping on toes, aiming at you and shooting at you. Because if you're in the right membership, God is going to confront you. The word of God applies to you. All of this covenant preaching, all of this covenant preaching, I've been preaching about covenant, you know, that's for you, that's for us. That we understand how to be in agreement with God. Now, if you're somewhere else, you got the wrong medicine. If you spiritually tied in. So I have to care to maintain. How do I do that? I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there. I'm not going to miss out on Bible studies. I'm not going to miss out on Sunday school. I'm not going to miss out on church regularly, because that's all a part of maintaining what the Lord has given me. All right, here's the second. There has to be caution. That I'm not going to treat church membership with negligence. That church membership should not be taken for granted or considered lightly. Because it is a gift. And we must always be thankful for it. When we are thankful for something, we have less time and energy to be negligent and negative. Ooh. When you appreciate a gift, your response to that gift is not negative. Now, if it's not what you want, that's where the negativity come in. You know, someone ever given you something you really didn't want? Have they ever given you something you really didn't want? You didn't want it, and you just, you know, act like it. Your old my wasn't right. You know how you, oh my, you know it wasn't right. They knew it wasn't right. You couldn't even fix your face to act happy. You didn't want it. Get away from them. What they bum me? About to told them to go and get this. So, you know, you're negative. Because you really don't want it. Matter of fact, you don't want it, so, you know, you got to try to find somewhere to put it. Yes. So you can't be negligent and negative about your church membership. Here's the next. There has to be commitment. Commitment. Be a church member with all your heart, mind, and soul invested. Be a church member with all of your heart, mind, and soul invested. Now, in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus said to him, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So now we understand the things of God. We have to invest all of our heart, mind, and soul in it. That this thing is of God. That I'm privileged to be a part of the body of Christ. Amen. And I'm not going to act haphazard with my church membership. I'm going to be committed. I'm not going to find fault. And if I do find fault or discover fault, I'm going to give my my heart, my mind, and my soul to remedy the fault. I'm going to invest all of who I am in what Christ invested all of himself in to save. He purchased the church with his own blood. So I'm going to be committed to what he committed to die for. Amen. I'm going to encourage those of my house, a home, to be committed, to be all in. Because listen, if you're not all in, you're not in at all. Jesus Christ is a detector of the heart. He know if you're just merely going through the motion. See, you can fool people sometime, but you can never fool God. He know if you have your heart, your mind, and your soul invested.
Amen.
He know if you are really doing what you should do. You know? So listen, when your heart, mind, and soul is invested, you give it all you got. And it's not because you're trying to convince other people, but you are trying to obey God in loving him as you should and loving your neighbors. I'm committed to loving God and loving you. Did you hear that? I'm committed to loving God and loving you. My love for God, my love for you, compels me to do right. I'm committed to loving God. Because he says, love you as I love myself. Some of somebody crazy about, oh my God. I love myself for me now. Do y'all love yourselves? Y'all kind of a little silent and quiet with me. I love God, but then, you know, I love myself too. Because he told me to love myself. You know, that's the problem with a lot of our young people. They haven't been taught how to love God to love themselves. I love you. Because I understand what commitment is. You commit to those you love. You know, it's a commitment to go home. You know, there can be some storms at the house now. Oh, quiet boy. I'm not going to tell anybody it's you. I see you. I don't tell nobody. I see you. And the truth is, you don't always want to go. It's okay to say amen. Man, y'all going to make me do it. But you go out of commitment. Because love doesn't work by and is not predicated upon like. It's deeper. Deeper. You know, it can be hard doing for your children. But because of your love, you committed. And let me show you what it'll do. Now, if you get in a conversation with some folks and you talk about what you won't do, Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's my last little straw right there. You're going to go and find some straw somewhere. You be sitting up there talking all that good nothing. And then when you get back around the folks you said that to, you try to act like you didn't do it. Because love compels you to do and be committed to those you love. If you love God, I got to quit here. I got to quit here. And next week I try to talk about, you know, biblical perspective of the gift of church membership. And I'll end up with biblical pleasure of the gift of church membership. But let me just kind of land here. Listen, when you love God, when you got all of your heart, mind, and soul, you know, in the gift, you care for it. You're cautioned about it, that you don't treat it with neglect and negativity. And you're committed. That's your response, or what that should be your response to the gift of church membership. That I'm going to care for it. I care to be the best member I can be. And whatever he has called me to do, whatever he has gifted me to do, I'm not going to do it haphazardly. I'm not going to be indifferent about it, because it matters. I'm going to give it all I got. Caution. I'm not going to treat it with negligence and negativity. Don't come to me with negativity. Already going for Sunday. I want to tell on you. Let me quit. Somebody trying to go to Thomasville already. Let me quit. I'm not going to be negligent and negative. Listen, there's enough negativity in the world. And I don't want, you know, the church I'm a part of and a member of to be seen in a negative way. So don't come to me. Listen, you know, I know people have issues. God didn't call you to be, you know, a teller of people's issues. They know they got the problem. And other folk know they got the problem. And see, you have to look all over your problems to kind of broadcast theirs. I got enough stuff going on in my own life that I don't need to be running up behind yours. You know, I got enough stuff to try to iron out of my own life, you know. And I'm not telling you that, you know, If a man is overtaken, you know, you don't share, but your intentions have to be right. And it has to be for restoration's sake, not spread rumor. Make sense? So I'm going to commit. I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to be negative. And listen, I'm going to be committed. Listen, I choose to love you. There's nothing you can do about it. With all of the imperfections, I know. I choose to love you. You know, people that say I'm with you as long as you're right, they ain't with you. They're not with you. Because if they knew you for you, they abandon you. Now, you know you're not all who you present yourself to be while you're sitting on this pew tonight. And you know you got some attitude issues and some anger issues. Now, y'all gonna make me do it. You know you don't always say the right thing. Sometimes your mouth run away with you. If that don't get you, you know you don't always think the right thing. You know, because, you know, Jesus, he brings clarity to what sin is. It's not always the act. Sometimes it's in the attitude. If a man looketh upon a woman and lust in his heart. You know how many guilty men? But there's some silent sin that you don't know unless he tell you. Now, let me kind of flip it, because you can do it too, women. Looking up on a man and lusting in your heart. Y'all say amen.
Amen.
I'm out there now. I might as well just go. But my point is the imperfection. And if you only choosing to love people because you perceive them to be perfect, you're going to be sadly mistaken. All of us in here got issues. I'm finished, y'all. I got to come next week to get part two. I'm finished. All right, are there any prayer requests as we stand and make our circle? Lord, I wish the whole church was here to hear this message tonight. Are there any prayer requests? All right. You say you? Tanya LaShore and yourself, all right? Pastor Ingram. All right, pray for Brother John Boyd's family. We are funeralizing him on tomorrow at 12. We will have Bible study at 10, but we will funeralize Brother John Boyd at 12. Pray for his family, immediate family and extended family. Pray for Miss Doris Lewis. She had a surgery on last week. Talk with us, and she's believing to be back with us Sunday. Pray for Reverend Angelo Hines, my friend. I've been communicating with his wife, and he was scheduled to have a procedure done today, and because of some other issues, had to delay it. So pray for Reverend Angelo Hines. Other prayer requests? Who is that? All right. Who is that?
Casey
family. Chapman. Ed and Jeff Underwood. Cleveland, Ohio. Pray your safety. And pray for your family. Janika January. All right, surgery today. I want to pray for Janika and Molly. Pray for Mary. Carlisle.
Okay. Pass away.
Any other prayer requests? Tanya LaShore, all right. Take me through, dear Lord, take me through. 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 I can't go by myself, take me through. I can't go by myself, take me through. I can't go by myself, take me through. Take me through, dear Lord, take me through. I want to go through, dear Lord, take me through. I want to go through, dear Lord, take me through. I want to go through, dear Lord, take me through. Take me through, dear Lord, take me through. Pray for Brother Mashburn. He'll be preaching his embarkation sermon on the fourth Sunday at 3. And we want to be here to support him, cheer him on, and bless him. Has a long road ahead of him. Many of opportunities to herald God's word, and we pray that God will use him mightily for the kingdom of God's sake. Pray for his family. It's a commitment, not just for him, but it's also a commitment for his family. Have to give him up and give him over. Living sacrifice. Amen. So we want to be here to support him and cheer him on. Amen.
All hearts composed. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we first of all come before you. Thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for the lesson that you allowed our pastor to come with us today. We thank you for your continued blessings upon this church. We thank you for our leadership. We pray for them, dear Heavenly Father, that you might keep them and sharpen their minds and help them with the tools they need in order to lead. Thank you for all that you've given us, because you've been good to us. In spite of our attitudes, in spite of our shortcomings, you've still been good. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for getting us here safely. We thank you for allowing us to be healthy and in our right minds, dear Heavenly Father, enabling us to intake what you had to say to your church tonight. We thank you for those that had their prayer requests that they thought enough to pray for somebody else beside themselves. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for each and every name that was called tonight. We thank you for answering their prayers in advance. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the healings of the saints. And we pray that you might lift somebody up off that sick bed. And those that are traveling, we pray that you might keep and stay with them, dear Heavenly Father, to their destinations. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, for each and every person that's in this household. However imperfect it may be, we pray that peace may reign on that household, from the leadership of that house on down to the least. We pray for each and every soul that walked through these doors, dear Heavenly Father. We also pray for Sunday service, that you might be able to bless somebody, and Bible studies and all the other meetings that we have from here moving forward. We pray that somebody might be blessed and that somebody might be saved and sanctified in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name, that you be glorified in all things, and everything said and done, you get the glory, honor, and the praise. We pray that you might get us home to our destination safely, dear Heavenly Father, and that we might do it in your name. It's in Jesus' name that we pray that you be glorified in that, and everything said and done, you get the glory, you get the honor, and you get all the praise. Let the whole church say, amen.
In the pulpit with us after next Sunday. Right.